You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic, all the way from the Gold Coast. Look, I hope you're having an absolutely fantastic week wherever you are in this planet of ours. There's always something going on. You know, in the war in the Middle East is still sort of cracking on, even though they claim that there's going to be a peace deal. And we can only hope and pray and cross our fingers and everything else that that's true, because it's time now for the world, I think, to come to peace. You know, it's time that we sort of collectively get together and say enough of this sort of nonsense, that we don't need wars. We don't need people running around beating their chests saying how wonderful they are. Let's live in a place of peace and harmony. And what a great world that would be then. Anyway, the Simply Tarot card of the week this week is the Seven of Pentacles. Now, it's a card of work frustrations. Now, not always when this card comes out does it mean that you're going to have a lot of arguments at work or not be particularly happy with what's going on at work. It can be the card of work frustrations. I tend to look at it more as being hard work needing to be done on a situation. Now, whether that is at work or whether it's in your life, usually I find with my experience over the years, it's usually meaning that there's something that we need to resolve in our lives, something that's been going on for a long time, something that we sort of almost feel as if we're out of puff. You know, it's like the last little bit seems to be the hardest, but let me assure you, it's going to be worthwhile once you get this all in place and that you really do put the effort in, that you will find the rewards will come, the results will come for all your hard efforts. And sometimes it just seems like that last little bit, whether it be at work or whether it be in your personal life, that we need to give it one more almighty push to get us across the line so that then the frustrations that have surrounded this will no longer be such a frustration. It's like I've given it my all, I can't do any more, and this is where the chips will fall, and that's what we deal with. So, you know, sometimes we need to sort of take a little bit of a breather and regroup too and sort of say, okay, what have I done? What have I achieved? What's left to do? And sort of give it one more final push. And this is sometimes where the frustration comes in, because we feel that we've given it our all and it's like, you know, is this ever going to end? And I'm sure there's lots of people around the world that can relate to that with something that's going on in their lives at the moment, that they sort of just want to see the back of it. They just want to see it sort of finally be put to bed and they can move on with other more important projects. So if this relates to you, and I'm sure it'll relate to a lot of people, just know the end is in sight. It's like, let's give it one more final push and then we'll start to see the end at the end of the tunnel there. The light will start to flood in and we'll start to see things that are going to become a lot easier to sort of deal with. So, you know, maybe the politicians in the world could take a leaf out of this book and sort of look at this card in a way and sort of say, okay, it's time for them to do a little bit more work. Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, astrologically this week we've got a big week. Happy birthday to all the Geminis. It is the Gemini time of the year. We're nearing the end of the Gemini time of the year, and in some ways that's sort of sad, because I find it as a time of the year, we're halfway through, we get some resurgence of ideas and sort of go back and look at what was on the list at the beginning of the year with our New Year's resolutions and the things that we were going to achieve or not achieve this year. And we get a chance to sort of look at it and cross things off or readjust it or say that's no longer necessary. It's time now to sort of look to bigger and better horizons. So happy birthday to all the Geminis. It's a really positive time of the year. It's a time of the year of fresh ideas and the time to be a little bit like a butterfly, flip from one thing to another. You don't necessarily have to stay locked into one process. You can sort of have the versatility to change your mind and to look at things in a fresh set of eyes, you know, because new information's come to light. So that's why I like the Gemini energy so much. It's very versatile. It's time for change. It's time for things to sort of be broken up and moved along. So let's hope we can continue on with that vein for the rest of the week anyway. So we have Mercury, the planet of communication. Now, when I talk about the planet of communication, I'm talking about all forms of communication, not just what we verbally talk about. It's what we send in text messages, emails, chat rooms, anything that involves communication. So be aware of that. It's not just what comes out of your mouth. It's what we type and what we voice into our cell phones and things like that. It's any form of communication. So Mercury, the planet of communication, is conjunct or holding hands the moon. Now, let me assure you, the moon moves very fast. Every, you know, 2.5 days, the moon changes signs. So this is a very fast moving transit I'm talking about. And the moon is conjunct what's known as the part of fortune. Now, the part of fortune is not a planet. It is where we call an Arabian part in a chart. It's where we look for things to be very fortunate for us or things that we would hope to bring in. It's a very positive sort of Arabian part. Now, this is sitting in Cancer. So, you know, it's the really important time for Cancerians, I think, to really sort of knuckle down, sort out what it is that they want, really have those conversations, even if they are tough and even if they are about emotions and they're going to invoke emotions, positive or negative. It's the time to bring up these conversations because the moment is now. You know, you've got another little bit of a window, 24, 36 hours maximum, that you've got to be able to talk about these things and get them out into the open and sort of really sort of put it on the line. And sometimes Cancerians find it really difficult to express what they're feeling. You know, they can have it all worked out in their head and then they go to open their mouth and nothing happens. Now, this is an opportunity. You know, you don't necessarily have to act on what you're being shown or guided to at the moment, but it's the time to have the conversations, make the plans, get things in motion, sort of look at the potential, look at the possibilities of what could change in your life at the moment, because this is a very short window. Even if you can't act on it yet, then get it down on paper, get the ideas down so that they don't disappear. So we're talking about Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, and the opposite sign of Capricorn. Now, still in the Cancer flavor, I'm going to talk about Jupiter, the planet of opportunity and expansion. Now, it's not conjunct or anything that with the previous three situations that I just spoke about. Jupiter is nearing the end of being in Cancer. Now, Jupiter's been here for 12 months. It's been bringing good fortune. It's been bringing new opportunities, but it's been bringing new ideas and asking you to think outside the comfort zone. Now, it will only be there till June 30. So we've only literally got days left of you being able to capitalize on this if you're a Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, or the opposite sign of is Capricorn. So if you want to start to bring expansion and opportunity into your life, now is the time. You're running out of time. You've got days left to work with this amazing energy of Cancer, of Jupiter in Cancer, before it moves into Leo, where it'll stay then for approximately 12 months. So it's really the time to sort of capitalize on things. I have lots of Cancerian clients and friends and things like that, and they all seem to be in a different state at the moment of some people are moving, some people are opening businesses, but everybody's sort of looking to expand their horizons or, you know, bringing people back into the fold that haven't been in the outer for a while, things like that. It's just a real time of opportunity and expansion. So please don't waste it. As I said, June 30 is when Jupiter moves into Leo. So you want to get your skates on if you're a Cancer or one of the water signs. We also have Mars, the planet of action, is sitting in Taurus. Now, we don't often talk about Mars. Mars is that planet that gets you out of bed of a morning, that motivates you, good or bad, to reach for the coffee and start the day. But with it sitting in Taurus, it doesn't exactly feel comfortable here because Mars likes to be sort of a go-getter. Let's move. Let's do it fast. Let's do it, you know, only know two speeds, fast and stop. where the Taurian energy is a lot slower. It's a more decisive, let's look at the things that are important to us, including money and our principles in life. And Mars sort of says, we've done that. Let's move on. And Taurus says, no, hang on a minute. We're going to go back and we're going to go over it again. We're going to look at your finances again. We're going to look at what are the things that are important to you? What are the things that you're trying to achieve? And it's like Mars is trying to rush out the gate and Taurus is saying no. It's like you're on a piece of elastic. You're being pulled back. So it's really important, I think, for any of the earth signs particularly, which is Taurus, Virgo and Capricorn, and the opposite sign of Taurus is Scorpio. So if you feel as if you've been a little bit on of a piece of elastic, you know, try and take some steps forwards and then you keep being yanked back, or, you know, nothing's as flexible as you'd like it to be, just be patient with that and work with the energy, because Mars here is trying to go like the bull in the china shop, you know, 100 mile an hour. And the Taurus energy is saying, no, slow down. You're going to miss some important things. You're going to miss important details by being in too much of a rush, as you always are. So it's an interesting combination, because it's trying to teach you some patience and asking you to not just gloss over things, but look for the intricate details. There may be something there in the detail that you would have missed normally had you been at your normal frenetic pace. So slow down, smell the roses, smell the coffee, and look at what Mars really needs to do, which is understand money for the moment and understand what's important to you. And then maybe collectively we can join those two together and make some really interesting changes in your life over the coming months, which is really important. Now, I want to shift gear to sort of Aries. Now, look, Aries people are one of my favourite signs out of all the 12 zodiacs. And no, I'm not an Aries, but I find them refreshing because, you know, they're me first. Let's get the job done. They're always in a hurry. You know, they get everybody motivated up off the couch and then they nick off. You know, they've done their job. They've got everybody motivated and up and ready. So, you know, I'll go over here and do something for me. And that's wonderful. But at the moment, they're sort of not so much stuck, but they're sort of finding that the discipline of having Saturn in their sign, and Saturn's about halfway through their sign, that it's been a sort of a stop-start situation for them. You know, like they get the momentum up and off they go, and then bang, they hit a brick wall and they think, well, why'd that happen? You know, there was great momentum here. That shouldn't have stopped. You know, everything was great. But it's because maybe they were going slightly too fast. Maybe they were missing some of the important details. So Saturn sort of got to pull them up and say, hang on a minute, have you really researched this? Have you really looked at this? Do you fully understand it? It's not necessarily trying to put the brakes on the situation, but just asking them to slow down a tad and understand fully what's going on. Yes, there may be things that need to be sorted out in their lives in many areas, from sort of finances to health, but it's asking you to do it in a very strong, grown-up sort of way. Don't go too fast, but you need to have the momentum to keep things going as well. Now, Saturn is sitting on its own, even though it's in Aries, but we also have Neptune, the planet of illusion and delusional creativity, as I prefer to look at Neptune, as bringing some creative areas into our lives. Now, Neptune is way behind Saturn, so he's not holding hands or anything like that. They're both doing their individual little dance. So, you know, behind the structure and the discipline and the restrictions and the limitations that you've been feeling, Aries, and I'm not just talking about Aries, I'm talking about all the fire signs, which is Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and the opposite sign of Libra, it is necessary that, you know, we have to have these little bit of pullback moments every now and then to slow us down and sort of make us take a slower approach and make sure that we haven't missed anything. And then Neptune can come in behind with the creative, new, innovative sort of ideas, because Saturn's laid the structure, the foundation stone, you know, put a good solid foundation underneath you. Now for Neptune to be able to build upon that and to bring in some creative ideas, which might take a little bit of time to warm up or to pad themselves out, but it's okay. It's good because it means that you've had a little bit of structure in your life and now you've got a little bit of time to bring in that creative side. So Chiron, the planet, it's not a planet, it's one of the Arabian parts too, known as the wounded healer, is nearing the end of its very lengthy time in Aries. So, you know, there may have been some health issues and things like that that you've had to reorganize or relook at, or sometimes just even admit that, hang on a minute, there's not enough hours in the day and I've got to prioritize my time in the best way that I can get the maximum out of my day as well as my body. You know, as we get older, we find that we can't go at the same pace as we did in our 20s. And it's not necessarily because we're older. I think we're getting wiser and how we use our time and sort of saying, well, hang on a minute. If I cut that step out and that step out, I still get the same result, but I'm not as stressed at the end of the day. So it's looking at innovative new ways to achieve what you want to achieve in your day. So that's where we're going to leave the astrology for this week. We're going to talk with Sue in Leeds in New York. Are you there, Sue?
I'm good. And yourself, ma'am?
I'm very well, thank you, sweetie. How can I help you today? Do you have a question for me, Sue?
Yeah, I'm looking for a new job. I just left my other one in Friday. So I'd like to know how soon that might come and if it'll be something that I can afford to work at.
Mm-hmm. Very well, thank you, Sue. Well, that's good. Well, congratulations on making that major turning point in your life, you know, of having that ability to be able to jump in feet first and resign from a job without having one to go to. That's very brave this day and age. But, you know, you must have felt that that was the right thing to do, Sue. It's interesting because what they're sort of showing me is there'll be a little bit of a breathing space here between the last job and the next one. I'm not talking about months. I'm only talking about weeks. And I'm going to say to you that it's a job that maybe 6 months ago you would have glanced over and said, oh, no, that's not for me, and wouldn't have even read past the headline. Now I think you're in a position where it's not so much, I don't want this to sound like you're being lazy, because that's not what I'm saying at all, Sue, but it's sort of like I want a job where I can take it at my own pace. You know, I don't feel like I'm constantly under the pump. I'm constantly having somebody looking over my shoulder telling me to hurry up. And it's sort of like, you know, you're capable of doing the work, you're good at what you do, and you will do things at a good pace if everybody lets you get on with things. I just feel that last job that you left, the stress of that was becoming intolerable. Had you stayed there another 3 or 4 months, I think you would have ended up quite sick because it was just draining the life out of you. The next job will be, they never show me, I want to be clear, Sue, they never show me what type of work somebody does. They just show me how the job fits the person. And what they're showing me here is this next job is fairly close to home. You seem to be happy with the commute time, and you seem to sort of feel right from the time that you read about the job on a job board before you even apply for it, you think, oh, that suits me. That's really what I'm looking for. And you get a really good feeling about it in the pit of your stomach. Well, then that's good. So apply for the job, you'll get the job. I think it's going to be a good job. It's going to be something that you'll really enjoy doing. The people are nice, you know, it's comfortable, but it's busy, but it's still comfortable. It's not, you're not coming home from work at the end of the day feeling like you've been run over by a steamroller. You're coming home and sort of saying to yourself, well, that was a job well done today. I'm tired, but I'm happy tired, and I'm happy that I've made the change. And I think it's going to open up other areas too. You're going to make some new friends, and it's sort of like your whole world is about to blossom now, Sue. So I hope that's been of help, Sue.
Yes, it has. Thank you very much. You've given me hope. Unfortunately, I was downsized from my other job, so that was
the
problem there.
It wasn't the case, but to me, I think voluntarily. Yeah, look, I think though, in a sense, I think it was the job itself did you a favour by pushing you, because I just sort of felt the amount of stress that was around that job, Sue, was ridiculous. You know, you were coming home from work as if you'd been run over by three steamrollers, and there wasn't much of you to go around, you know, to come home and even think about feeding yourself or doing something outside of work was almost becoming impossible. So, you know, sometimes the universe works in ways that we don't quite understand and forces our hand because we may not have the confidence or think it's the wrong time or I shouldn't do this or whatever, because of things that are going on in the world. We tend to sort of hang on to something rather than sort of think, well, this is really not good for me, I better start looking for another. Oh no, I'll leave it for another month, or another month goes and we keep going. And I think that's what would have happened with you. I think you would have ended up quite ill, Sue, and you know, that would have been much harder to come back from, getting over being sick, then probably losing your job, and then trying to recreate yourself after that. So in a sense, they did you a favor, even though it mightn't have felt like it at the time. It was a blessing in disguise is how I want to see it for you, sweetie. So okay. if you can look at it that way, it'll make it easier as you start looking for a job, because you'll go into it with more confidence knowing that this is right.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time tonight. I will take your words to heart. Bye-bye now.
You're very welcome, Sue. Have a great night, sweetie. We're going to talk with Alita now in St. Paul in Minnesota in the U.S. Are you there, Alita?
Yes. Yes, I am.
It's a lovely name, sweetie. How can I help you tonight? Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, I have a question for you. I am concerned about my friend. She just got out of a relationship with her kid's father 2 years ago, and now she's jumping into something with a guy that's like way younger than her. Like he's like a couple of years older than her oldest son. He has bad record, and she's hanging out with him, going on dates, and we're all just concerned for her. But she's a little naive, and the more you tell her no, the more she wants to be stubborn and prove people wrong. So I just want to know if anything, what's going to happen with this, if this is going to go somewhere, or hopefully it fades away.
Hopefully it fades away. But unfortunately, as you were talking about this, Alita, the first thing I was picking up is this young man's got anger issues. He has a real bad temper.
That coincides with what's on his record.
Right. Okay. But that was the first thing I picked up. You know, when he doesn't get his own way, he sort of explodes. And I don't like being around people like that. You know, to me, look, we can all have a temper. We can all get cranky. But
right.
This is beyond that. Do you know what I mean? He's like a fuse that's waiting to go off. Look, I think probably the best thing that you can do is you've said your piece. Don't say any more to her. As she sort of tells you how wonderful he is, just nod in agreement and say, oh, that's great. I'm so happy for you. You know what I mean? Like you're not really encouraging the situation. Because as you said, if you say too much, you'll go the opposite way. So everybody needs to rally around her now in a supportive manner without saying too much, if that makes any sense.
That makes total sense. I think that's where I'm at now too. It's like, okay, well, if that's what's going, you know, she was like, oh, he's got a book, he's graduating, he's going for master's. I was like, okay, that's good. I just say, just be careful. That's all I said.
Yeah, and I think now don't sort of say any more. You don't want to be seen to be seen too encouraging, and she thinks it's absolutely great. But just you have that middle ground that sort of, oh, that's nice, and change the subject. You know what I mean? Like you've given the acknowledgement to it. I think she's going to tire of this situation because at the moment it's sort of like, well, everybody was against him, so therefore I'll go that way because that's the nature of her. But I think when everybody sort of doesn't really take a lot of notice, it's like she's not getting the attention that she's craving by everybody telling her that this is no good. So if everybody sort of sits in the middle and doesn't sort of say very much, she's not going to get the attention out of her. Interestingly enough, I know you said that this young man is only a couple of years older than one of her sons. It's her son that's closest to his age that is able to sort of show mum in a way without being controlling or dictatorial in any way that this young man is wrong. You know, that he's going to try and befriend the young fellow, her son. And the more he tries to do that, the more her son is on a mission to sort of show mum that he's not a nice person. Now, maybe she'll take a little bit more notice of that because when she looks at her son and her son's friends and they don't behave in that sort of way or don't explode over nothing, she starts to think, oh, maybe this is not right. Do you know what I mean? She's not going to say anything to anybody, but she's going to think it to herself. I'm going to stick my neck out here and say I don't think he's as much into her as what she thinks, and I think some other young lady is gonna, for want of a better word, is gonna catch his attention and he's gonna be off. You know, he's not faithful anyway, but he's just gonna drop her like a hot potato. One minute they're all hot and bothered, and the next minute he's gone off with some other girl. And I think she's very much his match. You know, she's very much like him. So maybe that's a good thing. Look, we're in June. I'd be really surprised if this connection is still alive by the end of August. So, you know, fingers crossed it blows up and he moves on quickly. But you've just got to be a little bit like Switzerland at the moment. You've got no opinion about anything. Oh, yes, that's nice. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. You know, you're not really discouraging it, but you're not encouraging it either. You know, you're sitting in that neutral sort of ground. I feel after this she's going to meet somebody that is really worthy of her love. And it's going to be somebody that everybody in the group is going to sort of breathe a sigh of relief and say, oh, thank goodness she met him. You know, what a nice man. He's a little bit older. He's got a bit of, you know, experience under his belt. And he seems to be able to calm her down and guide her without her feeling like she's being controlled. And I think that's the secret, you know, like he's such a nice man. He's got dark hair, a bit of a wave in the hair, and he's always smiling. He's always sort of easy peasy to get along with, but he just, it's like he's read the rule book on her and how she behaves, and he just knows which buttons to push to keep her in control in a nice way, you know, in a positive way. I don't like to use the word control because I don't think anybody should control another human right. being, but I think you know what I'm talking about, that, you know, he brings out the best in her. And I feel that that's the important thing. We need to have somebody in her life that she can rely on and depend on. She's always attracted the wrong person. It's like, you know, she's yes. got a sign on her head that says, you know, come to me, I like bad boys. Come to me, I like people that want to break the rules, you know. But that's not necessarily who she really is, though. I think it's, again, I come back to attention seeking. You know, she hasn't felt throughout her life that she's been given the intention that she deserved or she craved or she wanted. And, you know, each one of us yeah. deserves or requires different things out of life, and she really sort of feels as if she's never had attention from a baby. And I don't know that that's quite true, but, you know, in her belief systems, it is that she was always looked over the top of. Everybody found everybody else around her more attractive than her, and that's not true. You know, this will be the end of what we can say is a bad run of wrong choices for her once this comes to an end. She's going to be heartbroken, let me assure you, when he runs off with somebody else. She's going to sit there and say, but how could he do that to me? Why would he do that? Why would he go with someone like that? And all as you can do is, it's like pacifying a two-year-old, just say, there, it'll be all right. You know what I mean? Like, you
can't
open up and say what you really feel, because that's not the right thing to do at that time. You can think it, but, you know, you just got to be there as a good friend, pacify her the best way you can. And if, you know, she's sobbing in your arms, well, so be it, just comfort her. You know, and say, you know, better days ahead, sweetheart. You know, that's all you can do. But she's lucky to have a good friend like her that cares so much, and a circle of people that are around her too that care for her so much. You know, not everybody has that.
No. And, it was when the whole circle found out, they all blew up at her. But you hit it right on the head. Mm-hmm. She likes attention. Doesn't matter what type of attention, she just likes attention. Mm-hmm. So. And she lacks attention, you know, so you hit it right on the head.
That goes way back to childhood, and it's no disrespect to her parents. I mean, everybody has different needs, and not everybody feels that they get their needs met. And that's what it is with her. But, you know, she'll get attention for the right reasons with this new man that comes in later in the year, because he loves her for who she is. You know, he wants to see her blossom. So just hang on to that and everything's going to be fine. So that's where we have to leave Alita now, because we've come to the end of the show. It's always interesting when, you know, you're the person sort of outside looking at someone else making a huge mistake, whether it's love or a job or whatever the case may be, or buying a car, and have your say, and then you sort of think, did they really listen? Do they really value my opinion? Of course they listen. They might not want to take on board what you've got to say, but it will go around in their head at different times. It's like a loop. I always relate it to being like an endless tape recorder. It just keeps looping around and around and around until we take notice of it. It's always interesting to me how that I pick a song that is going to be appropriate for the show, and I never know where. It comes into my mind, or it's something I see or hear or drives me nuts or whatever. So this week, again, the song of the week is very appropriate. It's Foreigner. And the song is I Want to Know What Love Is. And that's where I feel that that's very, very appropriate for our previous caller, Alita, with her friend, that her friend really does want to know what love is. But, you know, sometimes love can elude us because we look for love in the wrong places. And just a little brief update. Last week we featured Bonnie Tyler, and for many people around the world, Bonnie Tyler's been very, very ill and been in a coma, and she's just come out of it. So maybe we've had a little part in that by people playing that. that beautiful song of hers, Totally Eclipse of the Heart, that we featured last week, that we've all helped in some small way to let Bonnie know that we're here, we love her and we respect her music, and she's come out of a coma, and that's great news. But anyway, this week it's Foreigner's Turn, and it's I Want to Know What Love Is. And I think that's one of the most beautiful classic love songs that was written many, many years ago, but it still holds true today. So until next week, if you want to know what love is, go and put Foreigner on the turntable. Bye for now.